Okay, everybody, say today's daf is daf pei hey, and we're holding 2, 4, 6 lines from the top of the omid. The last word on the line is Rav. We get to the next line, Rav Papa, Ravuna, Bered, Rav Yeshua. The Gemara is going to tell us a story, and the end of the story is going to refer to the Gemara that we learned yesterday. What did we learn yesterday? Among other things, if you go back to Pei Dalet Omid Beis, just past halfway down the Omid, the Gemara brought a memra of Rav Yehuda Omer Rav. Lo huzaru sheirois lihinase lipsulin, which means that although it says in the Torah that Kohanim, those are the male Kohanim, have various isurim, such as not marrying a zoyna, a chalola, a grusha, midrabanan, a chalutza, a kohen gadol, an almana, shkoyach Reb Daniel. Does it go in reverse? Do the women folk have similar concerns, such as what happens if you have a man who is a chalol? Is a ksheira, is a bas kohen allowed to marry that chalol? Doesn't say in the Torah. So Rabbi Yehuda Marav says, Loi huzaru ksheirois linase lipsulim, that in fact a bas kohen is allowed to marry a chalol. However, one should be aware that if she marries a chalol, she will become nischalala, she will become a chalala, and subsequently if she wants to go and marry a kohen, she won't be able to because she's a chalol. But there is no isur in a bas kohen marrying a chalol.
That was granted number for life.
If and when she marries him with nisuin, then she will become a chalol. But there's no avera in marrying the chalol.
So she good. Can't remove it. Once
you're a chalol, always a chalol. That's exactly right. So now the Gemara tells us a story. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Bered, Rav Yeshua. These two great rabbis, Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Iklo, they both came to the town of, here in our Gemara it says Hintzivu, however the Bach changes that to Shachmetziv. Did we ever have Shachmetziv before? Mm-hmm. And the answer is yes. Where did we have Shachmetziv? Back on Daf Lamed Zayin, I think it is. Amid Beis. I'll take a look at Lamed Zayin. Lamed Zayin, Lamed Beis. Yeah, Lamed Zayin, Amid Beis. What did we have over there? You go down roughly a quarter down the Amud. You see there are a couple of brackets. So go to the second line where there's a bracket. Rav Nachman ki ikla the shachnitziv. The same shachnitziv. Machaz the Omer man havi elioima, who would be available for a day because Rav Nachman was visiting for that day. So shachnitziv is a town which is referenced here earlier on in Amsekta, and the Bach says that that's the same shachnitziv we're talking about over here, and not Hintzivu. Apparently Hintzivu doesn't exist, or it was a different place, but we're talking about shachnitziv. So what does it say in our Gemara? They came to shachnitziv. The Asrei, the Rav Idi Bar Avin. Apparently Rav Idi Bar Avin was the Rav there, or at least he lived there, and they were visiting in that town. So when they came, Boi Minai, the Bnei Teira, the townsfolk, came to ask them a shayla. Huzeruk Sheyus Linas Lepsulim Oylai. These two distinguished guests, Rav Papa Ravuna Ben Yeshua, tell us what's the halacha about whether or not a bas kohen is allowed to marry a cholah. And as we'll see from the Gemara, they did not know of this memra of Rabbi Yehuda Amirah. So, Omelu Rapapa. Rapapa says, I'll bring you a raya from a famous Mishnah towards the end of Masechta's Kiddushin, where it says, Omelu Rapapa Tinisa. We learned in the Mishnah, Asura Yachsin Olami Bavel, 10 categories of Yichus came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim, Chalolim, that's the Chol that we're talking about. Geirim v'charurim. A charurim means an eved v'shuchrar, meaning he was previously an eved, he got a get shichrar, and now he's free. Umamzerim, and nesinim. We spoke about nesinim at length last week, about the yevoinim, the snosnam, the she'avimoyim, the choyt v'yeitzim. Shtuki v'asufi means sofik mamzerim, because these are kids who we don't really know who the parents are. Sometimes we don't know the father, sometimes they don't even know who the mother is. Shtuki, the Gemara says, is that when the mother is walking together with his child in the street, and people want to approach and ask the child, where's your father? The mother says, shh, don't talk about it. She shishes him. That's a lesson, shtoik, shtika. That's a shtuki, so we don't know who the father is. Sufi means that they found him in a railroad station, that somebody put him there together with a nice blanket.
A foundling.
I'm sorry?
A foundling.
A foundling. Talmud. Okay. Anyway, this is a child that was Nesaf Menashuk. We don't know who the father is, who the mother is, unfortunately. Anyway, so those are the ten categories, the Suriyas. And the Mishnah continues on. Obviously, there's no problem with a Koyin marrying a Baslevi or Bas Yisrael. They're all allowed to marry one another. And then the Mishnah continues. Leviim Yisraelim Chalolim Gerim Charurim. Also mutarim lo voizeh bozeh. Levi Yisrael, Cholo, Ager, Nefer Meshuchar, also no problem. But notice that we left out Kehan. So Kehanim cannot go and be in that same category of Kehanim, Levi Yisrael, Chalolim, we left them out. We're going to focus on that in a moment. Then the third category, Gerim Charuri, these are the two different types of Gerim, Umabzeri, Nesili, Shtuki, Vasufi, mutarim lo voizeh bozeh. This is of course going towards the Man Yomar that holds that a mamzer is allowed to go and marry a giyoris. Not so simple, but that's what it holds in that Mishnah. So they're also mutar lovers ever. So that's the end of the Mishnah. Now Rav Papa is medayik. The ilu koyhanois lecholo loiktani. Lechoyra, we could have said in the Mishnah, koyhanim, levim, yisraelim, vachalolim are all allowed to go and get married one to the other. Meaning that if you had a bas koyin, she's allowed to go and marry a cholo. Since the Mishnah avoided that and started the second category with Levim, Yisraelim, Chalolim, oh, so Kahanim can't. Or for that matter, the first category, Kahanim, Levim, Yisraelim, didn't throw in Kahanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Chalolim. Why not? After all, the Bas Koyin, the Chayr can go and marry a Chalol. Since it doesn't say that, it would appear that a Bas Koyin cannot marry a Chalol. That's what Rav Papa wanted to medayik from the Mishnah. Rabbuna Bar Yeshua said, with all due respect, Rav Papa, that's not a good raya. Why? Kol heicha dehani nasmi mahani, mahani nasmi mahani, ketani. If you were to go and tell me that a koyin is allowed to go and marry a chalolah, and a bas koyin is allowed to marry a cholol, then you'd have a taina. Why does the Mishnah leave out and just say, kihanam within the Yisraelim, mutarim lovi zebizeh? It could have said Kahanim Levim Yisraelim and Chalolim Mutar Lo Voizeh Bozeh. But you can't say that anymore because a Kohen cannot marry a Chalolah. So even though you're right, theoretically, that a Bas Kohen would be able to go and marry a Chalol, but the Mishnah couldn't say that because then we'd have to go and divide it up. It's, well, it depends. If it happens to be a male Kohen, cannot marry a Chalolah. If it happens to be Bas Kohen, she can marry a Chalol. And our Mishnah didn't go to those lengths in terms of the details. We're talking kind of in broad terms. And therefore, says, wouldn't we be sure? The fact that the Mishnah leaves out that case in Ishkaraya, because we could not have just simply said, even if a Bas Koyin were mutter to a Chalol, we can't say it because the Koyin is prohibited from marrying the Chalol. And therefore, Kalecha the Tony Nas, I'm sorry, Kalecha the Hani. Nas Bahani. Bahani Nas Bahani. If you'd have it both ways, that what? Men can marry the ladies and ladies can marry the men, then Ketoni. That would have said in the Mishnah. Amakoyin, Kivan, the Igu Boila Mins of Chalolah, Asile. Since he cannot marry the female Chalolah, therefore, like Tani. And therefore, you have no Raya from that Mishnah to this Halach. So that was the Shmuz, that was the Masu Matan between her Papa and Rav Huna Rebbe Yishu. Rav Ili Bar Avin came on the scene, also the Kamei, Rav Ili Bar Avin, they came in front of him. Is Omelahu, when he heard this discussion, he said, Dardiki, Kindalach, Hachi Amr Yira Marav, don't try to bring new rayas from the Mishnah. You have the member from Rav. What did Yira Marav say? Lehuzeruk Sheiro Isli Nasi Lepsulem. That's Halacha Lamaisa. You don't have to clear, you don't have to look up Mishnayish, be Medayik this way, that way. Yira Marav already paskin years ago that a Bas Koyin is allowed to marry a Cholol. So that's the end of that discussion, which we started yesterday. And we continue on. New Mishnah, Baita Shniyos B'divri Sefer. Not a new Mishnah, but we're quoting now from the Sefer of the Mishnah of yesterday. What did it say in the Mishnah of yesterday? That a Shniya B'divri Sefer. And we went through the mental acrobatics, if you will, that she was a Shniya Labal, no Shniya Liyavim, Shniya Liyavim, not Shniya Labal, Shniya to both of them, not Shniya to either of them. The four cases we had towards the end of the Mishnah. And then we said at the end of the Mishnah that the Chachamim, to disincentivize women as well as men from going and marrying Shniyos. They said that if, in fact, they do get married, then she loses her ksuba, and she loses her zoinois, and peirois, and balois, like we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. Okay. Freiti Moriet. Boi b'nei Biri. B'nei Biri means the name of a place. People lived in Biri. Ask Rav Sheshes. Shnia lebal loy shnia liyavam. Yesh lo ksuva meyavam oy loy. What's the Gemara Shaila? We've said already in the past, as the Gemara is going to quote momentarily, that when a mess passes away without children, leaving the almana to the yavam, if ultimately the yavam is miyabim her, and ultimately that marriage does not last for whatever reason, whether it happens to end that Nebuch, his second brother, passes away, or the second brother gives her a get, they got in the Mishnah that the ksuba is not from the yavam, the ksuba is from the Baal HaRishon. Why does the ksuba come from the Baal HaRishon? Because as far as the yavam is concerned, Isha Hitnu Loi Min HaShemayim. So if a Kodesh Baruch Hu sent down a special spacecraft with a special wife going down to this man, he didn't have to go and propose, he didn't have to go and buy a ring, he didn't have to have a sefer write a shtar, he didn't have to have a chasana with 1,000 people dancing yod tzinish with all the whole geshev. His brother passed away, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, here, it's your option now. If you wish to go and marry her, you can be meyab. And therefore, if chas v'sholom, well, starting off, if the yavam is meyab, and then chas v'sholom he passes away, so he doesn't have to have his own new ksuba. You even save yourself from having to have a rabbi read the ksuba. You're not going to have a chuppah, you're just going to have a yibam. So, Zok the Gemara, then the...
Well, they had Marmer.
Yes, they did have Marmer. Yeah. You're 100% right. But for that, you didn't have to make... Probably in some mishpuchas, they probably did have 1,000 people. They probably had an engagement party before the Marmer took. Anyway, but all of that is irrelevant. The point is, says our Gemara, that the Yovam does not have to come up with a brand new ksuba. He can rely on the ksuba of the mess of the original husband. Then that's what it said in the Mishnah. Then it said later in the Gemara that Chazal later were misakin that just in case the original brother who passed away left no estate, then the second husband, the Yovam, is going to have to go and give Nechosim from his own estate or from his own wealth to go and give her ksuba when Chas V'Sholom either passes away or gives her a gift. What's the reason why the Chachamim were so misakeh? Certainly, Mor said earlier, and Rashi says again over here, Kadesh Leitehei Tala the Ein of Lechaitzia. We want to kind of put a break on a man's possible anger or fury against his wife. He had a bad day in the office, he lost a deal, whatever happens. He gets so angry, he says, you know what, I'm going to go and change from A to Z, and I'm going to get myself a new wife. He goes and gives her a get. Oh, you can give a get, but remember, you're going to have to go and pay. Oh, I'm going to have to pay Ksuba. No, let me think about it again. You see, money talks, right?
What's a mimer?
Mimer is that midrabonan, if a yovam doesn't want to jump into yibam, even when a traitor's guest beer, then he can do kind of a preliminary stage. A preliminary stage is to go and give her either kesef, in the form of, for instance, a ring, to go and give her a shtar. It's not necessary in the Torah, but midrabanan, the Gemara says that often was the case, they gave Maimer. Why would they have given Maimer? Either to kind of to start off the process. Why was there a period between Edrusin and Nisuin? To go and prepare yourself for the eventual Nisuin. So in the meantime, the husband would go, and the husband, the Oris, go and send to the Arusa care packages every month, and therefore he would endear himself to her, and she'd probably send back flowers and chocolates and whatever. So this way they had a chance to endear each other. So here too, instead of just jumping into the Yibam, give a period of time, he gives the Maimer. Also, there may have been several brothers, and one of the brothers wants to be the Miyavim. So he figures, I'm going to go and make sure it's me. So he gives her a ring, does the Maimer, and then after that she's going to wait for the Yibam sometime subsequently. It's not necessary, but this was midrabanan, the Chacham allowed for this.
Thank you.
The Man Yamada suggested this was the preferred method, but the Gemara said mishkarai. But anyway, getting back, no problem. Getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara tells us now, if you have a yavam that has, not a yavam, you have a mess that left no estate. The Yavam was Miyavim. The Yavam after that was Mikaresh, for instance. And now, let's go and give her a ksuba. There is no ksuba from the Baal HaRishon. The Chavim Masak can give a ksuba from the Baal HaSheni, meaning from the Yavam. In our case, by Yishniya, what happens if it was a Shniya LeBaal, the Lo Shniya LeYavam? So then we send our Mishnah, then there's no ksuba, meaning had the Baal passed away, no Yavam to speak of, let's say, no other brothers, whatever, the only sisters, nobody had children, then, and or they were children, or even better. So what would be the din? Then there would be no din of giving a ksuba. The Mishnah says, if Shniya LeBaal, ain't ksuba. Fine. Over here, unfortunately, the husband passed away and left no children. And in fact, the Yavam was Miyavim. And subsequently, the Yavam gave her a get and passed away. Now the question is, does the Yavam have to go and give a ksuba from his estate or from his possession? What's the shaila? Since she's not going to go and get a ksuba from the original husband, and Chazal were misakin that if the original husband doesn't have the assets, then the Yavam has to go and pay when he, Chas Hashem, divorces her and passes away. Here too, the original husband doesn't have to give from his assets, not because he doesn't have. He could have passed away a multimillionaire. But the halacha is, don't give from the next, say, Baal HaRishon. So now the question is, if and when the Yavam is Miyavim, and the Yavam, Chas Hashem, passes away, keeps her again, do we say here too? Well, since there are no nechasim from the Baal HaRishon, she gets from the Yavam. Or do we say no? That might be, in fact, defeating the takana of the Chacham.
Exactly.
The whole
exactly.
reason.
It's derivative of the first marriage.
So that's the question of the Gemara. His boyim b'nei Biri, the people of Biri, asked of Sheikhs, Shniya LeBaal with Shniya LeYavam. Vis-a-vis the Yavam was a perfect marriage. It was just a problem with the Shniya LeBaal. Yesh l'ksuba miyavam me'loi. Would we say that the Yavam should pay a ksuba if Chalila B'chasi subsequently passes away or gives a get? Given the Yavam Mar Ksuvasa al Nichsei Baal HaRishon, since the Iker Halacha is that when the Yavam, when that marriage ends, that you take the ksuba from Nichsei Baal HaRishon, so then Lesla, since the Chacham said that you don't get in this case from the Baal HaRishon because Ein Lo Ksuba, because she was a Shniya, so then Lesla. She stops. She gets nothing, even from the Yavam, even though there was no problem with the Yavam's marriage. Since, although mita ikar hadin, you get only for the next Baal HaRishon. However, since the chamur misake, the kinle rabbanim, that if the Rishon doesn't have, then you get misheni. This is a case where she's not getting from the Rishon, not because he had no assets, but because the halacha says you cannot get from the Rishon. Okay, that's unfortunate. They lived in sin. It was a shniya. But vis-a-vis the Yavam, there was no sin. They lived together for 5 years, 10 years, 2 years, a week, whatever it was. So maybe now the Yavam should be required to go and give a ksuba misheni from his assets. So isla. That's the marsha. Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, "Tirisu." We learned it. Where did we learn? Suvasa al nichsei baal harishayin. This is a brisa that Rav Sheshes is quoting. The ksuba is a nixi baal harishon, like we know. The imhoisa shniya lebaal. However, if the marriage was a shniya lebaal, afilu mi yavam ein lo. She doesn't even get from the yavam. So says the Gemara, I have a brisa directly on point. In a case where, Jeff, if you just joined us, we're on hey, omid aleph, about 70% down the omid. See if you see where this toys is baal lois, we are three lines further in the Gemara. So the Gemara is telling us directly on point on this very case that we're asking about, that the Rishon, the Baal HaRishon, Baruch Hashem, had assets. However, since he was married to his original wife as a Shniya LeBaal, so the Chum said, no ksuba. After that, the Baal passed away. She now remarries to the Yavam. The Yavam now passes away and gives her a get. Ayla, she doesn't get. Not only doesn't she get from the Baal HaRishon, which she's not allowed to get mitzvah halacha, but the Yavam is not required to give her anything either. Shine. So we pass Kindar Shai. Now the Gemara is medayik that this Brais HaLechoyr is missing a few words or one step, because it says at the end of the Brais, let's go over the Brais again. Brais starts two lines early, Amar Rav Sheshes, Tenisu, we learn, Ksuvas al nichsi baal harishon. That's the rule, that by the Yavam, Yavam dies, gives a get, the Ksuba comes to the nichsi baal harishon. Fine. Now the bride said, however, that leaves us with the sound that if it wasn't a shnia labal, then she would get from the yava. So Gemara, b'chlal de'ika v'isla miyava, didn't you just say authoritatively, decisively in the Reisha? Suvasa nixi balarishan. Stop! Just balarishan, nobody else. And then we say, oh, by the way, she doesn't even get from the oven. Of course she doesn't get from the oven. We already established that the rule is you only get from nixi balarishan. So what is this going on? It sounds like a contradictory the Reisha to the Sefer. So Timur, you're right. We have to do a little surgery on this price and add a few words. And we start again. That's the general rule. Now the Chacham said, if the Rishai had no assets, they made a special takana from the Sheini, and this is the Rashi, because we don't want that the Yavam, if he gets furious, to go and just send it away. This should be a financial disincentive to go and divorce it. Says the Braisa, however, if the original marriage was a marriage in sin, because Shnei Labal, in that case, the Chacham said, no, here we're not Mesakin. We're Mesakin if there were no assets to the Baal HaRishon. But if the reason why she doesn't get from the Baal HaRishon is because she sinned, it was a Shnei Labal, that's it. Makes no difference that Baruch Hashem, the Chasana with the Yavam was totally legit, totally halachically valid. That makes no difference. Bottom line is, Isha Hikmer Loi Menashamayim, the original marriage was no good. Ein Lo, she does not get from either the Baal HaRishon or from the Baal Hashem.
It was the Shnia, the grandmother, or the great-grandmother?
Great-grandmother.
That's what I thought, but someone yesterday was telling us the grandmother.
You said great-grandmother yesterday, and we accepted that.
Okay.
We adopted that as
the
law.
Okay. I'm surprised it was a question, since the whole derivative of the Yavam and the Ksuva is that the Kash Rabbanan based on the original marriage,
mm-hmm.
and since the original marriage was illegal and didn't have a ksuva element, how could it extend to the yavam? I mean, it feels like, you know, the koach haben can't be greater than koach ha'av. If the koach ha'av was shvach, how could the koach? I'm surprised the whole question would develop.
Okay, so you're making a good point. The second marriage is a derivative of the first. That's in terms of the evil, but in terms of the sin, only the first marriage was sinful. The second marriage was not sin at all, because it was only a Shnia Labal and not a Shnia Yavam.
Two different mothers or something.
Exactly. Mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers. You'll just discuss it with Brother Shai later with the art scroll. But the point is, it was only Shnia Labal and not the Yavam. As far as the Yavam and the bride and the Yavam, everything was perfect. So since they are not allowed to go and touch the Baal HaRishon's assets because of halachic considerations, but at least this is a brand new marriage. And since generally the Chacham are concerned that we don't want marriages just to fall apart because he gets angry, she gets angry.
Right.
Exactly. Kadesh Bei Teikala Bei Nevoitzia. Maybe in this case it would say, okay, I don't want the Yavam to get angry and throw her out. Therefore, so you should give
it. So they renew the decree of Ksuva, as it were, reinstated for the Yavam.
Exactly. Talk more about the boy minei Rabbi Lozim and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, now we're going on to the next case. So if you go back to the Mishnah for a second, the Mishnah had something very interesting. Normally, always these Mishnayas are always stylistically consistent. Here, it kind of got stuck in the middle. If you look at the Mishnah back on Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, starting the sixth wide line, he spoke about Shnei Labav, Shnei Yavam, Asur Labav, Teres Yavam, Shnei Yavam, Shnei Labav, Asur Yavam, Asur Labav, Shnei Zavazah, Asur Zavazah. What's Allah? In all these Shnei's cases, Ein Lo Le Ksuva, V'lei Peirot, V'lei Mezoinai, V'lei Balois. So there are four penalties involved over here. The lady does not get Ksuba, Peirot, Mezoinai, and Balois. That's all in the case of Shnios. Shnios, as remember, is Midivri Sofrim, is Midrabah. Now skip to the next case. Alman L'Koyin Gadol, Grush V'Chalutz L'Koyin Hedjin, Mamzer V'Sin L'Yisrael, Bais Yisrael V'Zinu L'Mamzer, then Yesh L'En Ksuba, then there is a Ksuba. But this, of course, these are Isurim Min HaTorah.
It's counterintuitive.
The Gemara is going to ask on the Amid Beis, why is it that by the Rabbanans we're more Machmir, and when it comes to Diaraisis, we're Meiko? That Diaraisa, we go and say, there is a Ksuba. We're going to focus on that later. The concern of the Gemara has at this moment is, in the Reisha by the Shniyos, we said, there's no Ksuba, and no Peiris, and no Mezoidis, and no Balois. Here in the Sefer, we just said, Yesh no Ksuba. What about the Marshal mezoinos. Is there a din that the husband has to supply mezoinos to the wife? Now, I would think it probably, yeah, it's a yesh ben ksuba, so probably yesh ben mezoinos too. But yeah, notice that, right, but notice the Mishnah leaves it out. So that's the Gemara's question. Is this an omission? But, you know, my shai, the high shai, just left it out. Or is this takedon bikavana, only a ksuba, but there's no mezoinos? So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. Zoki Maria. Do they have to supply food to their wives? Now, as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, this has a double application, both during the time that they are married, as well as if Chas v'Shalom this marriage terminates, she also is deserving of mezoinos in a regular case of a husband and wife. How do we know that that's the regular case? If you look at the Rashi is about 8 lines higher than when we are in the Gemara, the right-hand margin, Mizoine Tnai Ksuvaninu. When you listen carefully to the rabbi that is rattling off the Ksuva under the Chuppah, Shekach Kostlu B'Ksuva is what it says in the Ksuva. Ateh Yasu B'Besvi, you're going to go and sit in my house. In other words, I'm going to give you shelter, I'm going to give you a house to live. And you can go and have mezoinus for my nechosim, not only whilst we're married, but if chulila b'chas says the chosim, if I pass on, as long as you're an almana, you're entitled to go and get mezoinus from me or from my estate. So therefore, this has two ramifications, both at the time when they are living together, when they're still married, b'chas v'shalom, the marriage terminates, he passes away, she's still entitled to go and get mezoinos from his estate until and unless she remarries. Anyway, so the Gemara says that. Boy, my name is Rabbi Yechon. Alman lekayin gadol. Rishon lekayin tzekayin hech. Yesh lehem mezoinos. Do they have mezoinos? In other words, do they have to give mezoinos to the wife? Or yein lehem mezoinos? Or don't they get? So to my hechidami. Let me understand. Ilei mediasva to say, are we talking about that they are living together as husband and wife? Every day of the year, the rabbis call them and scream and send them an email and send them a text. Go and get rid of this wife. You are living in sin. You're a Kohen Gadol. She's an almana. You're a Kohen Hedget. She's a Grisha V'Chalutza. Get rid of her. Would we want to incentivize them to stay together by saying, you have a requirement to give mezoinos? If anything, we should go and say, don't give her mezoinos and see how quickly she's going to stick around. She's going to run out the door as soon as possible. And therefore, what is the shaila? If the maida hitzikoi, the chacham would say, give mezoinos. It's talking about that he's still married, but he's traveled away to Midasayam for 6 months, a year, whatever. The lovsa, and she took out halva from the local
banker. Loan shark.
I don't know, loan shark, but whoever the person is in town who provides
the gemach,
the ochre, and she ate. And now he returns to the scene. So now we tell him, you gotta go. Do we say you have to go and pay back that halva? Under normal circumstances, the regular husband and wife, the husband would have to pay back the halva. It's only if it was in the form of halva. If there was a generous neighbor, for instance, that would go and give her food because she saw, or he saw, but unfortunately the husband left her with nothing, and she has no funds of her own, and therefore someone wants to be charitable and give her food every single day. And now the husband comes back and I send him a bill. You know, I supplied your wife with food for the last 365 days. You owe me $10,000. Then the Gemara says, "V'niach mo'isav al keren hatzvi." Since there was no loan document, no note, somebody decided to give that from the graciousness of his heart. It's a very nice thing. You get a big mitzvah after 120, get a special place in Gan Eden that you cannot collect on this world, because after all, there was no documentation, there was no loan. This was just intended as a matana or a tzedakah, as chesed, whatever.
Can the wife encumber the husband?
Yes, she can go and take a loan out from anybody that she wants, take that money, use it to go and buy mezoinos, and then when the husband comes back, she says, honey, this is now yours. You got to go and pay for all that year that you weren't here, that you didn't pay. Go and pay.
And he would be obligated to.
He would be obligated.
It's like you give your wife a credit card.
be careful. Make sure it has good limits. Yes, Jeff.
So what if it's a situation like you go to the local Montcalm and you put it on your tab?
Same thing.
So then there's like sort of an oral contract that you're going to pay back or the family's going to pay back.
Unless the makolet says, I give this to you for free, I see the dire straits you're on, therefore you get it for free. If he says it's on credit, I'm giving you an advance, but you have to pay it back, it would be the same type of situation.
And the wife pays it, the husband doesn't have a lien, the Congo doesn't have a lien.
If she has enough to go and pay, it's wonderful. But if she doesn't, then the husband has to go and pay when he gets back. Until now we spoke about a regular case, a regular husband and wife. Not a Kohen Gadol, not an Almana, regular husband and wife. After 3 months of marriage, the husband says, we have to make panasa. I found out that if I go to England, I'll be able to make a yam mit geld. I'm coming back and I'm going to be a multimillionaire. Fine, gesundheit. Instead of going away for 3 months, he was away for a year. During that period of time, she didn't have any money left. She didn't have any food left. She takes a halva from the makolet or from anybody else in town who was willing to lend her money with a document, without a document, but it was a halva. And now at the end of the year, the husband finally comes back. All the creditors now jump on him and say, Yankel, you got to pay. What do I have to pay for? It was a loan. What type of loan? What are you a type of loan? You didn't leave your wife with a nickel for her able to eat food. We supplied the food. We gave it with a loan. No, then he has to go and pay. Here we're talking about a situation where the marriage was a sinful marriage, in the sense that it was a Kohen Gadol to Almana, or a Kohen Hedyut to Grusha v'Chalutza. So now the question is, my, do we have to go, does he have to pay off these loans and pay the mezoinis? Do you say mezoinis to noi ksuvininu? The inyan of mezoinis is one of the stipulations, one of the clauses embedded in the ksuva, like we read from the Rashi a moment ago, that it's written in the ksuva itself, ata heyasu lebeisi, you're going to go get mezoinis. So mid'is lo ksuva, since our Mishnah said that Amon l'kohen gadol, there is Yesh Lo Ksuba, the Islam Azaini. Ksuba doesn't mean just a piece of paper. Ksuba means all the rules and regulations, stipulations, clauses, paragraphs, all the rights inherent thereto and incumbent thereon, whatever, everything inside. Oy Dilma, Ksuba Dilma Mishkan, the Mefik, Islam. Mazaini Dilma Tiyakiv Gabay Leslo. Maybe there's a fundamental difference between the Ksuba and this particular clause. When we say ksuba, the reason why she gets a ksuba is because if and when the chachamim push the husband, get rid of this wife, you're living in sin, she's an almana, you're a kohen gadol, she's a grusha v'chalutza, you're a kohen hedyut, get rid of her, get rid of her, get rid of her. Although she's presumably happy with this marriage, on the other hand, with all of this pressure, the financial incentive for her to leave is that she's going to get her ksuba. So she's not going to be left with zero assets, she'll get whatever the ksuba entails, and she'll hopefully have a nice nest egg to support herself before she finds a man to shove another husband.
But that same incentive for her to leave the marriage is a disincentive for the husband to dissolve the marriage because he now he has the pressure of paying the ksuba.
True.
So I don't get why we're requiring him to pay ksuba if we want the marriage to dissolve. The main pressure is on him.
What you're asking is why by Shnius is there no ksuba, why by the...
Exactly, exactly.
You asked that already before, and I told you, Mer Hashem, with little patience in what to deal with it on the Amud base. So, Idilma ksuba del mishkol meifik isla, there we go and give a ksuba. However, mezoini, with the purpose of mezoini, is that they should stay married, and he continues to support her. Idilma ti'akav gabei, if we're going to tell her, as long as you live with your husband, you're going to continue getting 3 meals a day, why do I have to leave? I'm Baruch Hashem, you know, I'm fed nicely. I still have my old wedding dresses from the years ago, and they still fit, and they're still good, and everything is great. So I'm happier. I'm not leaving. So let's look. Yes? Okay?
If the ksuba is absent, then there are obligations of mezainas in the ksuba. How come we ignore it? Is that after the
Sabbath? No, that's what the Gemara is asking. Can we kind of do palgin and dibura? Can we split up the ksuba? The Mishnah said she gets a ksuba, yes, but maybe we don't want her to go and get mezoinis, because ksuba is a financial incentive for her to say goodbye. Mashenke, the giving mezoinis is financial incentive for her to stay. We certainly don't want to incentivize them to continue living in sin. They're over a chi of lav every single time they live together. And one is not allowed to live in the Kohen Gadol. Sorry?
But as long as the ksuba is extant, I cannot, it's like a constitution, I cannot change it. I cannot violate either. I accept the terms and I accept all the terms because it's a binding document, or I don't accept. I can play around with it.
I hear you loud and clear. Most, by the way, in America, most good lawyers in the standard form documents, very often the last paragraph, the last clause, says in it that if any one of the provisions of this agreement turns out to be illegal, it should not have any effect on the legality of the remaining documents. You shouldn't say, oh, since one thing is, it's like a mezuyah mitoichai, this last paragraph is no good, then the whole thing is no good. So this is no good and the rest is fine. See, in our situation over here by the ksuba, it's not that the ksuba was, something was wrong with the way it was written. It was written perfectly, the best soif in the world, Adam signed it. The chachamim are saying that a particular clause is no good. What's the particular clause? In the case when Haman is marrying a kohen gadol, although we're happy with the rest of the ksuba, that's fine. Mishnah says, yesh lam ksuba. But that clause, talking about mezainis, that we wish to go and excise. We want to delete that from the ksuba. Did they do that or not? So it's not a question of, like the Constitution, that it, whatever it says, it's a sacred. And the Chacham have the ability to... I'm sorry, once again? It's like a modern contract, in that sense. The Chacham are going to say, one clause is no good, but the rest of it is fine, no problem. So that's the Moritz Kasha, more Shaila than the Asp of Sheishis. Is it Mazonis? Is it no Mazonis? Amale Lesla, she does not get mezonis. Period. Frank Gemara Tanya, but have a brisa, which Gemara is going to quote at much greater length in another three lines. The brisa is yeshla. She does get mezonis. After Gemara Kitanya, he liachar misa. As long as they're married together, no mezonis. However, what happens if the kohen gadol or the kohen hedyot passes away, and now she's left an almana? Achar misa, then she does get mezonis. They're no longer living in sin. Nebuchadnezzar. That's why the Braisa, not the Braisa, that's why the Ksuva itself says, as long as you're an Almana, you continue receiving Mezoinus. So the Mezoinus of this Braisa Yeshla is post Misa. At this point already, we don't have to go and disincentivize her by saying, no more Mezoinus. She's no longer living with her husband, because the husband Nebuch is dead. That was the first lashon. Is the Amar, the second lashon, is kamat the same. Again, we asked Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, less law. I, the Braisa, says, yesh law. That's what the Achar Misa. Is the Amar, Amalei, they asked Rav Sheshes, what's the lacha? He said, look at the Braisa. Tanya, yesh law. That she does get mezoinus. Frank Timara, I don't understand why. We're trying to go and push the husband to go and divorce his wife, and you're telling me yeshla mezainis. Well, hotan yeshla. Avshtei tchafot in the brayse yeshla. Hefti markitanya he liachar misa. That's from the achar misa. So according to both versions, as long as they are living together as husband and wife, no mezainis. If and when chas v'shalom the kohen gadol or the kohen hedyot, the man of mishpat chalutza, pass away, then there is mezainis post mortem after the husband passes away. And now we're going to bring that same little shtickel that we had, the Yesh Law. It's going to be a longer brisa, which is going to explore in greater detail the Aman L'Kohen Gadol and the Shniois that we began in our Mishnah. Tanar Bat, Aman L'Kohen Gadol, Kirush V'chalutza Kohen Hedjit, Yesh Law, Suba, Peirois, Mezoinois, and Balois. Like we had in the Mishnah, just our Mishnah ended Yesh Law, Suba. Here the brisa is Peirois, Mezoinois, Balois. And the Meforshim say that what it says over here, Mezoinois, that's the brisa that we said before, yeshla, that means la'achar misa. Not during the lifetime, la'achar misa. V'yipsula uvla d'apostol. After this marriage ends, she is going to be apostola, because she is now nischalala, she's become a chalala. And v'lo d'apostol, and the child, whether it's a boy or a girl, will be a chalol or a chalala, like we've said before. V'koyfen ois lo'itzi, and the bezin, of course, tries to push him and persuade him and forces him to go and be moitzi, to get rid of his wife, because they're living in sin. So that's the ratio. Safe. Shnia mi the safe. It's a shnia, it's the rabbanon, ein moksu, v'loi peiris, v'loi mezoinis, v'loi beloiis, like we learned in the Mishnah. V'hi ksheira, after this marriage ends, she'll remarry, she'll remain kosher. There's no din of becoming a chalola or a zoyna because of the fact that she lived as a shniya. Uvlad the kosher, and the vlad will be kosher. There's no problem with any mamzeris and no problem with chalola. The child will be kosher. But again, the koyfenoy is lahaitzi, since it happens to be an iser, we try to go and push him to push her out of this marriage. Now we're going to have Reb Shimon Elazar and Rebbe, and they're now going to distinguish and say manishtana, the reisha, and the seif. Oh, Reb Shimon Elazar. The name of Omer Amun Kohen Gadol. Yesh lo ksuba. Why over there is there a din of ksuba? The neisha hu pasul, the hi psula. The chol mokim shehu pasul, the hi psula, konsu oisai, ksuba. We took away the ksuba. Now what does this mean, that hu pasul, the hi psula? Rashi learns hu pasul means not that he becomes this chala. There's no such thing as when the Kohen Gadol marrying the almana becomes a chol. She becomes, it's in the pasuk, l'yichalel zara bi'amav. The Gemara Darshan, it says, two lamids, l'yichalel, not only the zara becomes nischalel, but she becomes nischalel. Both of them become nischalel. However, he doesn't become nischalel. So what it means pasuk? So the Gemara tells us, in the Sechus B'chayrois, that if and when he is engaged in such a prohibited marriage, in other words, he's married a man of the Kohen Gadol, or Grusha Kohen Kohen Hedjit, that as long as they're married, he's not allowed to do the avoiding. He's possible to avoid it. And in fact, the Gemara says over there, he doesn't even have to wait until he gives her a get. If he makes a neider, I'm noider hanoah heimena, I'm no longer going to have any hanoah from her, that's already enough, and he's already reinstated to be able to go and do the avoiding. So this soul that we're talking about is a temporary phase. It could be permanent if he never gets rid of the wife, but it could also be temporary. He can go and fix it. The hipsul, but she's going to be possible forever because she becomes the schala.
Living with a halala doesn't make him a halal?
No. Now that's Rashi's chat. So he says on the bottom of Beit Tam disagrees, and he says that the apostle that we're talking about, Neshu, apostle is going on the vlad, not on the husband, that the vlad becomes possible. Because the vlad becomes a halal or a halala, depending whether it's a boy or girl. So therefore, Jokto Dimar, Neshu Pasul Hi Psula. He becomes Pasul, she becomes Pasul. B'chol Makam Shehu Pasul Hi Psula. When he is Pasul, and she is Pasul, she can become Chalola. Kansu Oisai Ksuba. Then we force him to get a Ksuba. We're putting a Knas. The Knas is not on her. The Knas is on him. Neima Omru Shnias Midabri Sofrim. England Ksuba. Why then do we put a Knas on her? Neshu Kosher. The Ksheira. In this case, he will remain kosher. She will remain Ksheira because Shnias B'divrei Sofrim doesn't cause any halola issues. Both remain kosher. Chamokim Shu Kosher. The Ksheira comes to Oisa. So we took away the Ksuva from her as opposed to forcing him to give the Ksuva. That really doesn't explain in the Gemara what the Svara is of Reb Shimon Elazar. It just simply says, in the case where apostle and apostle, where kindness him, that he has to pay the ksuba. In the case where they're both kosher and kosher, then we kindness her as opposed to him. What's the reason why? So let's look at the top Rashi, which gives us part of the answer. Shortly, in another few lines, we're going to have the second part of the answer. So it's Rashi. Kloimer. Loi kutsua mishar kohenoshim. We didn't go and kindness her and take away ksuba different from all other women. She remains like all other women. She gets a ksuba when the marriage terminates. Why by shniya is different ksuba? Because we don't want her to stick around and say, I'm happy to live with this husband. Since we said in our Mishnah in this braisa that if this marriage terminates, she's not going to get a ksuba, she says to herself, living with this shnia is not a good idea, because chulil v'chas, sometime or other he may die, or he's going to give me a get, and I'm going to be stuck with nothing. No roof over my head, no ksuba, no nothing. She says, you know what, I want out of here right now. I could see what's going to happen in the future. I'm going to be an old lady, nobody's to support me, no welfare, no food stamps, no disability, no nothing. I want out now. That's in the case of the shnia. Abul hachal leitzarech. Here we don't have to go and say, ain luxuba. The mameilish shav kalei. She's going to leave on her own volition, even without financial incentives. The kiv and duhu basul al yada. since he becomes, I'm sorry, the kima de nifsal al yad becomes possible as a result of her. What means possible?
He can't do the avoda.
He won't be able to do the avoda. And she as well, as Rashi is going to say in another moment, she also becomes possible through him because she becomes halal. Every day they're fighting. And he says to her, you know, I just got another email from the Besdin that I got get. I have to go and send you away. I have to go and give you a get. She says, you better give me a get. You know, you're passing me every day and becoming halal because of you and you're a terrible guy. I know, I realize this only happens once. I'm telling you. In a dramatic fashion, correct.
In a marital setting, they're throwing back and forth. Instead of this thing from 10 years ago,
it's your fault.
And he says to her, it's my fault, it's because of you that I can't do the avoid. I show up at my mishmar to the base of Megish, and they say, oh no, you're disqualified. Why am I disqualified? Because you're living together with it. I should have gotten rid of her a long time ago. I knew that there was a mistake from the first moment. There's constantly this fighting. That being the case, by the case of the Diraisa of the Amon al-Kohen Gadol, Grisha Chulutz Kohen Hedid, since they both become possible, it's not necessary to go and take away the Ksuba, because anyway, there is an ongoing Ketotah between them. However, in the case of the Shniyos, where there is no ongoing, because both he is Kosher and she is Kosher, so what do we say in such a case? Then, to incentivize her to go and leave as soon as possible, we say, no Ksuba. No ksuba, I have no nest egg at the end of this process, and so therefore she wants to get out quickly. That's the pshat so far. We're not finishing. This is Reb Shimon ben Elazar again distinguishing between the case of the Diraisis and the Drabanan. Rabbi Yoim, what do you have to give that reason for? Hello, the Divrei Torah. The Divrei Torah ain't tzricha chizik. It says in the Torah, a kohen is not allowed to marry a grush b'chalutza. A kohen god is not allowed to marry an almana shteitach. I don't have to mechazik the Divrei Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, that's already enough. So I don't have to build in financial incentives or disincentives. That's fine. However, halol Divrei Safra, we're talking about Divrei Safra. Divrei Safra, many people go, yeah, it's only Dirabanan. Divrei Safra, Tzricha Chizik, therefore the Chacham had to go and put teeth into their din, so that people shouldn't go and say, nah, it's only rabbi, I don't recognize that rabbi, I'm to be from a different denomination, that rabbi is not my rabbi, I go somewhere else, Rabbanan, you're not going to listen to Rabbanan on these halachos l'gabei shniyos, you're going to lose your ksuba. So that's the svara of Rebbe. Dover acher, noch apshat, zehu margilah, v'zuhi margilah soy. In the case of the Diraisa, he is margil her. In the case of the Shniyos, she is margil him. Margil means goes and incentivizes or pushes or seduces the other one, provokes the other one, convinces the other one to enter into this marriage. Now why in the first case is margilah, and this is margilos, right? So Rashi explains. Because when you're talking about Amon al-Kohen Gadol, as far as he's concerned, no major damage to him if they get involved in this marriage. It's true, let's talk about, let's say, a Kohen Hedyud. Kohen Hedyud, as you know, only works in the Beis Midrash twice a year. 24 Shmaras, twice a year. So the Kohen Hedyud says, you know, I just worked in the Beis Midrash last week. The next time I'm going to become up for qualification, the disqualification is going to be in 23 weeks from now. In the meantime, let me go marry this Grusha v'Chalutza, and nothing's going to happen. As far as she is concerned, she becomes Chalol immediately. So she's not going to want to get into this marriage. I don't want to become a halala. I'm going to become a halala in the Chas V'Shalom, then I'll never be able to go and marry a kohen, and I'll be disqualified from even Truma de Beinasha. This is if she's a Bas Kohen. And so therefore, get me out of here. So it's only because he uses his powers of persuasion and pushes and pressures her, finally she agrees. Because it's certainly not in her best interest to get involved with this kohen. He's not worried about himself. He says, you know, Dayla Tzorosh B'Shayit, in the meantime, I have the Bikusha, I can eat Truma, I can come to this Medesh, I can get Koyim. In 23 weeks from now, you know, Dayla Tzorosh B'Shayit, at that time, I can always go and say, okay, I swear not to have any more Hanoah, I'll give her again at that time. But in the meantime, it doesn't affect himself, and therefore he's happy to go with life, etc. Especially according to the Toysis on the Amud Aleph, the Toysis said that the Psul is not the Psul in him, the Psul is in the Zera. Okay, he knew that he's going to be Michal the Zera if he marries her, but he wanted to marry her. Obviously, she had something about her. Maybe she was very pretty. Maybe she was a grace of Balas Midois. Maybe she was a grace of Tzedekis. This Kohen Gadol says, oh, this Kohen says, I gotta go marry her. So therefore, Margila, and that's why he has to pay the ksuba. Vizui Margulasar, but the case in the Shmiya, where it doesn't affect anybody's status or reputation. She doesn't become a chalala. She just over Nisr. Okay, it won't be the first Nisr. I'm over other Yisurim too, and therefore she's going to say,
no,
I want to get married.
Disqualification, I'm free to...
You don't get disqualified. I don't get disqualified. The children don't get disqualified. Therefore, let's get married. Oh, that's why we had to put a knas on her, because she's the one that's pressing. Why is she pressing more than him? After all, he too says there's no psul involved. Let's go and get married. Says Rashi, that's the famous rule that you have in the Sefer in Kedushin, and Gittin, and Ksubis. Isha roitzli nasa yoisim and a ish. A lady wants to get married more than a man. Tam lemesim tamdum and lemesim armula.
You give him shishin, that's the question.
Okay, Koyin is certainly not going to get shishin.
No, but he's not necessarily a Kohen.
Good. So this is Margulah. Sorry, Margulah. Fine. So now we had three reasons. We had Shimon Elazar who said initially, because this is posel, kosher, kosher. We had Rebbe that said, divrei Torah to ain't tzvicha chizik, to be some tzvicha chizik. And then we have Dovrach. Who is the author? Who's the one that added this Dovrach? Ikidiyama, there's one version. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Ketanya. Umatam Kama. He's now adding to the top. After all, I just said posel, and I said kosher, kosher. So, Frank, you want Matam Omru, who posel, the Yipsula, Kansu Oisoi Ksuba, why were we kindness him that he has to pay the ksuba? Maybe we should go and be kindness her that she should not get the ksuba. I'll tell you what. Neshuv Margila, because he presses for the chasana, because he doesn't lose anything. Maybe a temporary psul, but certainly not a permanent blemish. She's the one that gets posseled. She doesn't want the marriage. I don't want to be a chalola. He presses her, presses. So that's why he has to get the ksuba. Umatam hu kosher v'hikshayra konsoi soy ksuba in the second case. By the Shniyot, Nisha Margulosai, because there she says, nothing gained, nothing lost, and nothing to worry about. So therefore she presses it, and that's why she loses herself. So this is just an adjunct, an additional reason, explaining Reb Shimon Elazar. But Ikadiyama, others say a different shot. The Rebbe Ktonila, Rebbe of course was the second man, the other said, Divrei Torah and Divrei Sofrim. And what's bothering Rebbe is that there's one problem with the analysis. The Chalutzer Kokashele. In other words, we always just quickly rattle off Amon L'Kohen Gadol, Krush V'Chalutz V'Kohen Hejit, without thinking Amon L'Kohen Gadol is the Araisa, Grush V'Kohen Hejit is the Araisa. Chalutz is not Minat Torah, that's only Midrabban. It doesn't say
Grush.
Yeah, earlier. Yeah. But it's Drabbanan.
Right.
Good. So it's Drabbanan. If the difference that Rebbe is making between the first class of cases and the second class of cases, this is Divrei Torah, Ein Tzvichin Chizik, give her a ksuba. The second group, Shnias Labal, Shnias Liyavam, Shnias is Divrei
Torah.
Then we have the Tzvichin Chizik. So then in the case of the Reisha, the Chalutza part is also Drabban. So take that out, extricate it from the first category, and throw it into the second category. And we should say, I'm one of the Kohen Gadol, ksuba. Grusha L'Kohen Hejit, ksuba. Chalutza L'Kohen Hejit, together with Shniyos, those are all drabbanans, Tzrichin Chizik, and therefore we take away the ksuba. We didn't say that. We left Chalutz in the first category, not the second.
She gets the ksuba.
I'm sorry?
She gets the ksuba.
In our mission in the Brice, it says she gets the ksuba. Why should she get the ksuba? It's the drabbanan. And you said, Divrei Sofrim Tzrichin Chizik, we should take away the ksuba from her. Timin Mechazik, this Isser of Shniyos, the Chalutz of drabbanan, he is the ksuba. So that was quite a, that throws a monkey wrench or a torpedo into the whole Svara of Rebbe. Therefore, Rebbe added, Had Amar, I thought about it further. Kiman the Pasala, now the Bach adds, Mitruma Drabbanan, Zel Margila, Vizuhi Margila Soy. What does he mean? Since in the case of the Chalutza, what's the case of the Chalutza? The Chalutza cannot get married to a Kohen anyway. If she becomes now Nischalila, not only won't she be able to marry a Kohen, which anyway she won't be able to marry a Kohen, but now if she happens to be a Bas Kohen, she won't be able to go and eat Truma any longer. If she's also a Bas Levi and Bas Yisrael, and she was eating because she has a child from a Kohen, she would also be disqualified from eating Truma. So the point is, that passes her from eating Truma. Ah, if that passes her, so then it falls into the first group of cases, where what did Rav Shimon Elazar say in the first group of cases? That since who possible the Ipsula, and by Chalutza she's also going to become Nifsula, that's the right reason why she who Margila Here the Kohen Hedget says to the Chalutza, I want you to go and marry me. The Chalutza says, I'm not allowed to, Midrabanu. Okay, so the Arvid Rabbanu, who cares? Oh, but I'm going to become Psula. I won't be able to go and eat anymore, any Truma. I don't want that. Therefore, he's Marhila, and that's why she gets Zuba. In the case of the Shniyos, since everybody's going to remain kosher, he'll be kosher, she'll be kosher, she'll children be kosher, so she's Marhila. So that's the reason why in the Sefer, the Reb Shimon Elazar adds this Dabar Acher, not right, Rebbe adds this Dabar Acher. It's not only because it's Derais, it's Derabanan, because Chalutza is a fly in the ointment that causes a problem. So therefore, he added the second reason of the Margila and Margila. Mm-hmm. Fine. Zokimori, it's my Ikka ben Rebbe Reb Shimon Elazar. Tachlis Keret. Since we're saying over here that both agree lahalacha, then the case of all of the arises of the Amon Lekayin Gadol, which was by Hedget, Chalutza Terbana, yeah, that what's the din? He does have to give a ksuba. In the case of Shniyos, there's no ksuba. Different reasons why. Margila, or because of Derais, Derabanan, Kitata, all the things that we learned until now. But is there enough kmina lahalacha between these two reasons? And the Gemara comes up with four nafkiminis. The first three the Gemara is going to challenge and defer, reject, and then we're going to be left with number four right before we get to the Mishnah on the bottom. So my ben Rebbe Reb Shimon Elazar, can you tell me a nafkimin al-halach? Says the Gemara, yeah. Omer of Chizr, mamzeres and sinli Yisrael ikka benai. If you have a mamzeres and a sinli that wants to marry a Yisrael. Mam diyama diyaraisa, hanami diyaraisa. In other words, according to Rebbe, that said the reason is because Yeraisa. No, Yeraisa. Yeraisa, the return, ain't Srichen Chizik. And so therefore, the husband would have to go and give the Mamzeres a Ksuba. However, Madiyam Nishi Margila, ha, he Margilalei. Here, she is the one that's pressing. Why is she the one that's pressing? Because as far as the husband is concerned, I have nothing wrong with the marriage of Mamzeres. I don't become hostile as a result. Yeah, my Vanessa, okay, my however, she's pretty, I'm willing to be over that issue, she's a mamzer. However, for her, it's not good. Why is it not good for her? Because then the children are going to become Rachman Litzlan Mamzer. Zotrashi, however, this, according to this teretz, the Gemara is going according to Reb Tarfin, where Reb Tarfin says that there's an Eitzah for Mamzer. What's the Eitzah? We learned about this a few blocks ago. To go and marry a Shifcha, and then the Shifcha is going to have a child and Eved. You'll free that Eved, and that Eved will be kosher, will be normal Zera, will no longer be a Mamzer. Ah, so that being the case, that the Gemara, ha, he margalalei. In this case, the Mamzeres is the one that's pressing. She wants the marriage. As far as he's concerned, she's a Mamzeres. As far as she's concerned, it's true, I'm not allowed to go marry a Yisrael. I know it's not going to damage my reputation anymore because I'm a Mamzeres anyway. And as far as my kids, I hope that they're going to have a tikkun by being able to go and marry a Shivcha, etc. So therefore, since she's Margalei, so there'd be a Svara to go and take away her Ksuba. So that would be enough to me. Mamzeres in Yisrael, according to Rabbi, she would get the Ksuba since it's an Issa Diraisa, ain't Srichan Chizik. But according to Pshimon Elazar, according to the Reb Shimon Elazar, has him to do with Margalei, Lord Margalei, then we would go and say, here, you are Margalei, and that's the reason why we would take away the Ksuba from her. Tzukimar, that's all good according to Reb Tarfin. That Reb Tarfin says that the Mamzeidim could go and have a remedy for their children. Reb Elazar disagrees with Reb Tarfin and says that even if a Mamzeres or a mamzer marries a shifcha, and now after marrying the shifcha, they're going to have a child, an eved. So we said until now, okay, it's an eved, you'll free the eved, and he will be kosher. The blessed said, no. This eved is going to have on his head two titles. Number one, he's still an eved, because his mother is a shifcha. And number two, because the father was a mamzer, he'll be a mamzer at the same time. So it's not going to help you that he's going to become that the original mamzer married a shifcha and produced an eved. Couldn't Reb Tarfin free the Evan, now he's a regular Ger, and he's a regular Jew, and everything is fine. Not according to Reb Elazar, he's going to remain a Mamzer. So Margalei, well, immediately, then she's not interested in the Shidduch, she doesn't want to cause future Mamzerim to come from her body, from herself. So that Teretz would fall away, according to Reb Elazar. And then for Elam Reb Yosef, I have a new pshat. Mach Zgushosai Mishanissis Ikimanayim. Oh, what happens if he goes and takes back, you have a husband and wife, he gave her a get, she remarried somebody else, and now that husband takes her back a second time, does he have to go and then afterwards that marriage terminates again? So does he have to give a ksuba? Yes or no? Ikmanai. Mandi amadiraisa namadiraisa. Stay in passing. The yukabala risha losha kachmi yadir achreishu tama. It's a kadiraisa. So she's not going to go and get them, sorry. Divri Torah ain't srichim chizik, so therefore she'll get her ksuba. Mandi amadishu margila, ha hi margila lei. She is pressing for this marriage because obviously the first marriage didn't work out, the second marriage didn't work out, and now she wants to go back to the original husband, figuring nothing, listen, I'm to be a grusha anyway, so vis-a-vis kahanim, I'm not going to benefit. The children are not going to become halolim or halolois or going to become mamzerim. It's just an isalav, okay. I'm going to remain kosher, they're going to remain kosher. So she's margalei, therefore we should go and take away. So, oh, so this will be a night, the nafkimina. Gabi Machzor Gushas, okay? So your mother, Kiva the Omer, Yesh Mamda, Chiyav Elavin, Holoi Margul, Leibuli Mivi. Ein Echanami, Itztaka, Echiyav Elavin, but the child's going to be a Mamzer, and if you hold like Reb Lezer, there's no way of being Mesak in the Mamzer, so again, she's not going to be Margul.
Why did
she have Mamzer? That's what I was asking. Rebbe Kiva the Omer, Yesh Mamda, Chiyav Elavin, even though Machzor Gushas is only Echiyav Elav, however, that would produce Mamzerim. And if we're going to learn like Reb Lezer that there's no way of being Mesakim Mamzeidim, so again, Olei Margul, Olei Vilemina, so she's not going to go and be Margul. So again, this Nafkamina would fall away.
Can she become a Zona? Machshir Gushas, says a Zona? So she would be a Chalala?
Now she asks that Kasha, I will be here a little bit later, but about the Zona situation. Now she asks the Gabi Ba'ula, the love of the Zona, Lechok, the Zona El Nevelis, be absolutely, by the ice, by Machzor Gushas, she did not become a Zayna. It's a Rashi brings it later on by Geula, but the same thing would apply. There's no din of a Zayna by Machzor Gushas.
Okay.
Zokti Moravaita Elo Morapapa. I have a new Nafkimina. Geula Koyin Gadol Ikemenai. What happens if a Koyin Gadol marries a Geula? Nishkanama a Geula. Okay. Tzmandiom Deraisa Hanami Deraisa. And since Divrei Torah ain't Zricha Chizik, she would go and get a Tzuma. Umandiom Anishu Margila Ha He Margilalei. She is the one that's pressing for this chasana. Why is she pressing for this chasana? Because of the fact that she wants to get married. And she's ready to get married with him. And what about she's going to become a zayna? So Rashi said in this case she doesn't become a zayna. So look at Rashi, Be'ula, Pnuya L'Kayin Gadol. She was not a Grusha or an Almana, she was a Pnuya, but she was a Be'ula. Ika, Sinachol, Pnuya L'Kayin Gadol. Asay, Ika, what's the essay? Suva v'loy ba'ula. Lav abam chlal asay is an asay, and the Gemara therefore is saying this is not even a chiv elavin. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva doesn't even come into the picture, and therefore she would be margul, figuring I'm going to remain the same as I was until now. There's not going to be a problem of chalola or a problem of zayna. Lav the zayna like opa. The zayna el nevel is be a asura, meaning that there is a chiv lav. Here it's only an asay. Since it's only an asay, she's not going to be chalola, she's not going to be a zayna, therefore she's margalei. I want the marriage, and therefore, according to this svara, we should go and pass kenaser and take away from her her ksum.
But according to this pshar Rashi, then she would be a zayna in the case of in the previous case.
She would not.
It's a lav.
Master Gushos is no din of zayna.
It's a lav. Rashi says it's a lav.
Rashi doesn't say that every single lab. Rashi says that this is not a lab.
Okay.
All right.
I want to finish.
We had a sugi about Zayna before.
I'll take your word for it.
You didn't take my word for it until now. I doubt if you're going to take my word for it now. Even you may not ask the question again, but I don't think you take my word for it. You have to find that mission again that talked about Island of Siyah Zoyna, Nikha Zoyna, and then the Gemara had five different cases of Zoyna in the old days, but the Master Shas was not among them.
Okay.
I'll have to look it up. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara now, so the Gemara says, right, Margilo Margilo, so that's a good nafkimina. Oh, the Master then Chorish, the Yomra Filah, Holoch, Bala, Lach, Koisa, Oba, Leva, there, I'm sorry. Yaakov says im chayav yasei, there is also a din of a chalol. Again, holy margalei v'lei midi. Then she's not going to want to get involved in this marriage because even though she's only a beula and there is no isalah, is only an iser of an iser aseh. But Reb Leizer ben Yaakov says that the din of chol even my iser aseh. So oy bazoy vaita, she's not going to be margul. She's not going to be margul. So I this nafkumin again falls away. El Ravashi, the final nafkumin. That this won't really be the final. This is the next to the final. El Ravashi, master suffik machzir suffik seitasi ikimenai. The person has a wife that he has accused with kinyan v'stira that she is chas v'shalom doing something with somebody behind closed doors, and he takes her now up to Yerushalayim for purposes of giving her the meisaita. And what happens? What happens if he were to go and live with her ala derech, or before they leave, or whatever? That's an iser. He's not allowed to nitma v'nitma like we had before. So now madiyam niyaraisa nam niyaraisa turns to nitma. He's not allowed to live with her. So if afterwards he divorces her, no ksuba. She wants to live with him. Number one, she's not going to be any worse off by living with him. She doesn't become a zayner chalal. If she's a zayner, she was already a zayner. If she's not, not. But moreover, if you remember the Gemara said before, the niko ishmi avoin, the mayim arim are only going to go and be boidik her if he's menuka mi avoin. If he lives with her, he's not menuka mi avoin, and the mayim will now be
ineffective.
So therefore, again, Margalit, she has a good reason to go and live with him. So therefore, we should throw the books at her and take away her ksuba. Ah, is a good enough givina. No, in this case, he makes her into a zoina. What means he makes her into a zoina? Because until now, it was just husband and wife. The fact they lived together was no problem. But now, if he, the fact that she may have lived with somebody behind closed doors, that's only a suffix, so she doesn't get a shame zoina. But now, if he lives with her, that is considered to be a zoina situation. Ah, if that's the case, once again, she's not going to want to become a zoina. Elamar Rabashi, soitavada yikimenai. Soitavada really means not a soita, it means an eshesish. You have an eshesish that was mazana, and now she happens to be osir to her husband, and she was mazana berotzoin. In that case, she was not Nensa, she becomes also a Baal. Now, what happens if now she lives with her Baal? Oh, so then we get back to the same thing. Since the Isra living with a Baal is the Araisa ain't Tzricha Chizik. Since she is already a Zoyna, she was already Mazana, so she has nothing to lose with living with her husband. In fact, he's the only game in town. Probably very few people are going to want to marry her if she was a Zoyna, but at least if she's able to convince her husband to continue living with her, it's a bonus for her, so to speak. So Margulay, this we now kimina. If afterwards there's a divorce, should we or should we not cancel her and take away her ksuba or not? This will be the nafkimina in that case. This we concluded. Shkoyach HaBoyis, we'll stop here tonight.